Good afternoon on this beautiful Super Bowl Saturday, February 6th, 2021. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. I'm Mike Rickard with the St. Pete Sports Connection. And, of course, our sister station 96.7. We're going to have a couple of musical guests today in our 96.7 Sunshine Jam Sessions. We got a jam-packed show. I'm telling you right now, the electricity down here is unbelievable. For the next 36 hours, we're in the heart of St. Pete. They call it the edge, but we certainly aren't on the edge. Everybody's on the edge about tomorrow's game, 6:35 kickoff, and it is your Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 55, and it'll be an epic battle between the old and the young. Of course, we're talking Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. I won't elaborate on that. That's been on 24/7 for the last week, and it promises to be just an exceptional Super Bowl 55 over at Ray J. And as I said, we're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Come on down. We got just a jam-packed show. I'm looking forward to it. I had a blast last week with my family. My son Michael joined us, Banjo Steve, and he's back in the house. He actually entertained last night here. He and his band will play tonight. I've got a duo playing at about 1:30, Keith and Dave. And I got a very special guest, this cat that looks like he's going to be a lot of fun to talk to. Former Buccaneer, and he was an Orlando Predator in the AFL. I'm a big arena football, the original arena football AFL. That's when they really played it. And that promises to be a great conversation with Styles G. White, former Minnesota Gopher. In fact, he wore his Gopher gear today. And I think this is Frank Maggio. Yeah. Frank's in the house. He's going to be on about 1 o'clock, and we're going to talk for half an hour about Super Squares. And he's got an exceptional day tomorrow, too, Super Sunday, as I said, here at Ferg's. And we're going to have a conversation that just really intrigues me. But we're going to start out with Styles G. White, former Minnesota Gopher. And as you're all well aware of, I am a University of Iowa Hawkeye fanatic. So it was a lot of fun when he walked up with the T-shirt, not even knowing that I was a Hawk fan. So we'll talk a little bit about that. He played for the Virginia Destroyers, and his coach actually was John Gruden. Jay Gruden was his coach for the Orlando Predators, and suggested that Jay pick him up. So he was drafted out of Minnesota, and, of course, the Bucs have two superb Gophers on the team right now, and Winfield and Johnson, they're making contributions. We'll talk a little bit about that. He obviously has a lot more knowledge of the game of football than I, but we're going to have a ton of fun. As I said, this is the St. Pete Sports Connection. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and I just want to warn you, if you're listening and you're making plans to come to Ferg's tomorrow, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, the casualties of COVID, Ferg's is sold out. He had to go to selling seats to maintain the COVID restrictions, and he did a great job. He's got 1,400 seats sold. But you have to have an invitation and a wristband, and they are sold out. And, as I said, the show's going to improve dramatically here in a minute when this young man gets on the airways with me. But jam-packed show. I'm going to talk to Styles. Then we're going to talk to Frank Maggio. Banjo Steve is going to entertain us a little bit. Then we'll close out the show. So without further ado, throw on those headphones, my friend. Turn on that mic. Let's talk a little Gopher football. Well, I don't know if I want to talk Gopher football.
We should talk Gopher football.
All right. This is Styles G. White. Thanks, man, for coming on down. I've been looking forward to this. And as I just said, the funny thing about this is I didn't tell you that I was a Hawkeye fan from the Hawkeye State. I did my research on you. I thought we'd have some fun there. And then you wear your Gopher. You're representing.
I got to. We got, what, two of the players that's playing in the Super Bowl tomorrow?
Two outstanding players.
Very good players. Very good players.
Well, you were certainly outstanding yourself. Let's talk about you're from Jersey. And let's talk a little bit about your transformation to the Midwest. That had to have been a little culture shock for you.
A lot.
it was over the top.
Yeah. It was from, like, being from Newark, New Jersey, you know, like brick city neighborhood, you know, to Minnesota where it snows a lot.
A lot.
A lot.
And what years did you play? Was it 99?
98 to 02.
Yeah, well, I discovered that too because you guys took care of business against the Hawkeyes, and the thing about it, you got to admit, it's pretty cool. The Big Ten, the interstate rivalries and the and the trophies. What's the trophy? Is it a pig?
We get Iowa was the pig.
Yeah,
yes, Iowa's the pig.
Yeah. People make fun of Iowa. Why wouldn't you when you got a trophy that's a friggin' hog?
Do you know the story to it?
No, I don't.
Me neither.
No, you know what?
I kind of don't. I thought it was like a mayor thing or something
Yeah, it was. It was a wager back in the day. And they started playing this game in the late 1800s.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, you weren't playing then.
I was not.
I checked it out.
Okay, fair enough.
No, but during your time, and I'm glad that you got those victories.
Are you?
Well, not really. I was at one of the, now that I looked at it, I was at one of those games.
Yeah.
And we took our whole gang. My 81-year-old mom will be down here later. She was rubbing up against Banjo Steve the other day, trying to talk him into letting my son sing some more and pounding a beer right there, wasn't she? Yeah, she.
I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about your college career. Best moment. Is that possible, or are there a lot of great moments?
I mean, there's a lot of great moments, a couple with Iowa. But I think it was the fact that when we beat Penn State when they had LeVar Arrington and all those
guys. You did?
So yeah. We beat them in Penn State.
Wow.
They were like 2-0, I believe, at that time.
Now, that's impressive.
That was fun. That was a crazy game. We won by field goal.
Who was the coach? Joe Pa was still the coach, Paterno.
I think he was. Yeah. It was crazy.
That place is crazy. I've been there, but the Hawks got slaughtered.
Well, I mean, it's not that we never got beaten. It's just I don't remember those times.
That would be a great memory.
Yeah.
Let's talk about playing in that Metrodome. I used to, you know, we'd make a trek up there and we'd party and have a lot of fun.
I never did a lot of partying.
Okay. Nobody's listening, but up there.
I did a lot of partying.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember that bar called Humphreys right by the stadium?
What's the name of it?
Humphreys. It was
sounds familiar.
It was a big hangout before ball games, before Twins games and Vikings.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I spent about probably $100,000 there over 8 years.
Wow. There you go. You're dedicated.
I used to do a lot of, I was dedicated. Trust me.
Right.
I'm fortunate I'm standing today at this age. Anyway, that Metrodome, that turf was brutal, wasn't it?
I mean, that turf caused a lot of ACL injuries, a lot of ACL, MCL. I mean, it was fun, though. It was a great experience just to, you know, I mean, you're in college and you playing in a Metrodome where the NFL players play, right?
So that's exactly.
Kind of cool. You don't think about tearing your ACL then.
Here's another thing. You'll appreciate this, Banjo Steve. The reason I love that place, because you played in an NFL facility that could serve beer at the college game.
Did it?
Oh, you were in heaven.
I love your priorities. The priorities you have are amazing.
We were in heaven.
Yeah,
you're like, what do you mean you don't want to take it's a 2-hour and 45-minute trek? They serve beer. Oh, I'm in.
Yeah, there you go. I like it.
Because otherwise you just you have a ticket. You stop at Humphreys or any of the sports bars in the area. Yep. Never make it into the game.
I've been there. And in fact, I tailgate right now sometimes with the with the Bucks or whatever over there, and I never make it to the game.
But you have a great time.
I have a blast. That's the best part of the game.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
I'm not going to lie to you.
All right. So what was your favorite restaurant in the cities? Maybe we went to the same one, maybe.
Annie's.
Annie's is epic.
Yeah, Annie's is right on campus.
Yep.
It had the best. I used to get a strawberry Oreo milkshake.
How many of those babies?
And a Laguna sandwich. Maybe because the Laguna was on the wheat bread, I kind of.
There you go. Yeah. That saved more room for hops and grains that night.
Right. So
the priorities in life. All right. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. It's very electric down. Look at this already. It's just right after noon. Imagine what Tampa's like right now. I've been watching it. It's just got to be. Have you guys been over there at all?
Absolutely not.
It's crazy.
I refuse to go over there. I imagine I'll probably have a blast.
So what are your plans tomorrow watching the 55?
I'm going to be smoking cigars at a cigar lounge.
You're supposed to smoke those after the victory.
Or during.
Okay.
You can do it during.
Yeah, you can. Used to be a big cigar guy.
Listen, and if you lose, you can smoke one. And if you don't, you can still smoke one because you're sad.
Hey, did you happen to see? See well, same works? With drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the beauty of drinking
I
and
see
smoking
how you get
cigars.
It. Right.
You're either joyful or you're sorrowful, but the cigar and the cocktail make them go just a little bit emotionally in either direction.
Exactly.
Okay, did you see the interview with Ocho Cinco?
Lately?
yesterday. He's in Tampa. He's sitting in one of the cigar bars over there. Okay. He has his own cigar now.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you know that?
With it. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have a clue.
I follow him on Instagram. He doesn't promote it a lot, but, yeah, I know he does.
He promoted it last night, I can assure you.
Cigar, yeah, well, Ocho Cinco, he's a walking advertiser.
He's a unique cat.
Yeah, he is.
Everybody thought it was all about him. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he is very generous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was someplace he had a $39 tab and tipped the gal $1,000.
Wow.
He said, I've been blessed in my life. I mean, I was pretty impressed because all you see is, you know, his showmanship and think, you know, he's probably a narcissist, me.
Yeah, he still can be.
He's a self-promoter. Let's say that.
Yeah.
I don't want him walking up to me and I just called him a narcissist.
Yeah, no.
I said you weren't if you're listening. He's not listening. All right, so let's progress, and I really want to talk arena football with you because I, being from Iowa, the Iowa Barnstormers.
Yes, I'm from
that. That was the great days of the AFL, wasn't it? When you played
back in the day, all
it was the real deal.
High school, college, you know, you could hit anybody, and you know, it was great back then.
Now you played for Jay Gruden, right?
Yeah, I did. I played for Jay Gruden,
and I actually started with the Barnstormers. I was I did their programs, and I was their media guy.
Nice.
And the Kurt Warner era.
Yeah, I know about it. Yeah.
Now, I watched that league.
I wasn't in that area, though. I wasn't in that era.
No, you weren't.
Okay, good.
You weren't even in college yet.
Probably, yeah.
1997. You were a senior in high school.
I was living life.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to go back to high school. College, yes.
Yes.
High school. Too many restrictions, high school.
Yeah, it was.
College, you know, you could be off the charts and they say, oh, he's a college kid. High school, they want to kick your ass out. You're a problem.
So, the haters.
Yeah.
But go ahead, I'm sorry. The barn. Go ahead.
Okay, so you got, yeah, you played in the barn.
I don't think I have.
You didn't play in Des Moines?
Don't think so.
You probably kept most of your games on the East Coast. Where'd you guys play over in Orlando?
At Amway. Is it Amway now? Not the new one, the old one. I thought it was the Amway Arena, because it's something else now.
I just moved here 4 years ago, so.
I've been here like 10, and I still. Amway, I think it was. Okay. Not Amway, that's Tampa. Yeah. Wow.
I know where it's at, by downtown.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
By Church Street.
Yes, yes.
All right.
I'm getting old.
You got drafted.
I did.
By the Houston Oilers?
Texans. Not that old. Come on. Not that old.
I can't remember the transition. I got ADD. Yeah, age right, deficit so, disorder.
When I got drafted, it was the seventh round. I got drafted with the Houston Texans. I think that was their first inaugural. You know that word.
Inaugural. Tough one.
I stumble, fumble,
new everywhere.
Right. So 2002, that was their first year. That's when they had like David Carr on it, first round draft pick. First pick of the draft.
Carter, who do you? He would end up going to Raiders, right?
Derek.
Derek, there you go.
David was his older brother.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
And David owes me a DVD.
All right.
He does. He owes me.
When you remember stuff, man.
I remember the important stuff. Like
exactly.
You ever seen this movie called Ha Ha?
Yeah.
With Method Man and Red Man?
Yeah.
I let him borrow it. Never heard from him since. Yeah, all this money he got. You think he would have shipped me my DVD back? He didn't.
That's not right.
I know. I feel a little.
I'll reach out to him for you. I'll be your representative. I'll be like your bill collector.
Yeah, I like that.
DVD collector.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
I can do that. I can act tough in an email. You know?
Right.
I can haunt him with text.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about. So you got drafted.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about your NFL at that period in your life and then the transition to the
arena?
To arena football and then back to the NFL.
Yeah.
Great story, by the way.
Well, thank you. It was hard living it, but like it, overall.
That's L-I-F-E, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got drafted seventh round, played with the Houston Texans during the preseason game, and I balled out. I mean, I had four sacks in one game, and granted – I had a couple more sacks, but I wasn't real, I guess, I didn't understand how to run a 3-4. So they said that they released me, whatever, and come back. And like I'm going to keep this short. So like,
oh, you don't have to. We got a half hour. I want to hear this.
Yeah, so, I mean, after I got released from them, that was devastating. You know, let me dive in that a little bit. So all my years of playing football, I've been pretty good. I've never not been good enough for a team. So when I got released, cut, fired.
Out of politics?
It was devastating.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to anybody. I had a girl I was dating, just left. I just left Houston. I didn't talk to her. Like, I didn't tell my mom.
Depressed?
It was hurtful.
Because you're used to being a stud.
You know, I would like to think I was. Not narcissistic.
Well, your college numbers were were off the charts, man.
I did well. I did well. And
you did very well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But after that, that was a while later. Then I went to different practice squads. I was on – matter of fact, that was the same year that – 2002. So that was the year that the Bucks went to the Super Bowl and won it.
And some great friends from my hometown are in the house, and that's Jim Sands and his lovely wife, Caroline, all the way from God's country, Sioux City, Iowa. This young man played for the Gophers. He's a Gopher. I told him, and they beat our Hawks during his era.
Yeah, I did. We did. Anyways.
Okay, so let's go back. So then Tampa?
So we went to Tampa. I was on the practice squad. I was on and off the practice squad, and, like, I don't know, I was on there for like 8 weeks, a little more, and then like before they went to Oakland, I think they released me, and they told me they could bring me back, never did. It sucked. It would have been so nice to have a Super Bowl ring in 2002 when they won it.
Oh, it would have been.
Yeah. So after that, off and on, I went to like five other teams. I was at three: New Orleans, Atlanta. Let me tell you something. I was with Atlanta when Atlanta had Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Was he a cool dude?
But not only was he cool, he didn't talk much, but he was an athlete.
Like, unbelievable,
like,
athlete.
He was faster in person. Could you imagine that? Like, faster. It was crazy. Anyways, so I was up around that. I was with New Orleans. I believe Aaron Brooks and all those was there.
Oh, yeah.
Quarterback. Oh, it was good times, you know what I mean? Like, all those guys were there, the old school players.
I know several kids all the years I've been in sports, and I had to ask this question. Had the same typical career as you did. And then they got, you know, as they say in baseball, cup of coffee, and you get called up to the bigs. Mm-hmm. When you're on the practice squad, but you get treated pretty dang decent, though, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna go out and you talk to people, and you're like, yeah, I play for the Saints.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
You're on the Saints team.
You are. It's a bit misleading, but, you know, it works.
Well, you remember when the Panthers were in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
This young man had played college football with my son. It was NAIA, they're national champs at that level. Well, he actually went to camp and made the team.
Okay, awesome.
And he never got to play a game during the regular season.
Okay.
But they kept him on the practice squad the entire year.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Great.
And he got to dress. It was funny. He got to dress for the Super – not dress, but be on the sidelines in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Super Bowl. In a sweatsuit. So we're all watching the game, and he kept texting my son, watch me. He got behind Ron Rivera the whole time. So when the camera would come, we could see Brandon.
Wow.
Here's Brandon Wager. He's working it. He's on the sidelines. Like, well, he was at a Super Bowl.
Yep, he won a ring. Oh, they lost. They lost to the Denver Broncos.
Well, then he signed a contract, $500,000 a year, three-year deal, and came back every year. Then they flipped him to the Rams. He didn't take care of his responsibilities, and he was out. But that entire time, he made good jack,
and he had
a good time.
Yeah, that was a great experience. So, I mean, being a part of the practice squad is being a part of the team. Let me not take
But
that
you're
away
a competitor.
From, yeah,
you
I
want to
play in a game. Yeah, it's not okay for me just to be on the practice squad. I want to play.
So then you made the migration to arena football.
I mean, so in the process, I went to arena, I went to Canada.
What was that like in Canada?
It was great.
Was it?
I was in British Columbia, BC Lions.
Yeah.
I was in Surrey. Yeah, it was awesome experience. The money wasn't that great, but
what kind of money in Canada compared to arena football?
Arena was definitely better. Arena was definitely better at
the original AFL. Yeah,
yeah, that was definitely better at that time. I was making over 90, you know, in arena, so that was like pretty good. I can say that, right? That was back in the day. I'm broke now. It's fine. So so we're fine. But yeah, arena, but I was just on a practice squad arena, so they really didn't pay you much money. They only paid you for your place to stay and stuff like that. You stayed at a hotel. It was a
low budget.
Yeah, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't NFL. So then, you know, I ended up going to an arena. That's when I, 2006, we just, you know, all that year traveling, carrying on. Finally made.
You've seen the world playing football.
I did.
Or at least the United States of America.
No, I really
did. Canada.
I went to NFL Europe.
Oh, wow.
I was in Cologne.
That's where Warner was, and I actually had. He got the call.
Yeah.
He was playing over there. He got a call from the Rams, and I knew him well. And I said, you're just playing in Europe. Yeah, but I got a call from the Rams. And he said, I probably won't make the team. Boom, next thing you know. So you were in Europe, too.
Yeah, I was in NFL Europe. Led the league sacks. I mean, it was only like five teams, but I had six sacks. But I led the league. It doesn't matter how you get it done. Yeah, I got it done. You know what I mean? So
success is success.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. One of my guys, like, it's funny, real quick. So one of my guys in high school was like, "You was nothing but an ankle tackler." I was like, "Did you get tackled?" It's all that matters. Like, I ankle tackled you. I tackled you. You went down. So, anyways,
or the people that say, "You never really, you didn't have a very long career." Did you have a career?
Right.
Such a yapper.
Right, exactly. So we go, I go to arena, I go to Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden comes to me and he goes, at that time I was like struggling. Like I literally had no, like they gave us a place to stay. I didn't have money to buy for covers. So I literally slept in my jacket.
Oh my word.
Yeah, it was a lot of ups and downs. Excuse me. A lot of more downs than ups, but I made it happen. I just persevered.
Persevered, brother.
Yeah, So at that
time, I love stories like that.
Yeah, so I mean, it was tough, and I went through, and I ended up being good. And the funny thing is, so we were a little low budget, so I was wearing 95, and another guy was wearing 95. They wanted to cut one of the 95s, but they couldn't tell which one of us on film. We both was black.
Oh my God!
No.
Are you kidding?
I'm dead ass. I'm sorry, I'm gonna curse. Yes.
Yeah.
So
right.
I go and. We're on the
line. They couldn't tell from the film.
We didn't have the greatest film. Like, we both had on 95 because they were sharing numbers. It's arena football, ladies and gentlemen, arena football. So they literally was like, yo, you're going to catch. So my coach, my D-line coach was like, we had like a pass rush off. Like, so he had watched me rush, and he watched the other guy rush. I never knew what he was doing. He's like, yo, you rush again. Rush again. I'm like, this is just stupid, right? I had the whole time, had no idea I was fighting for a job. I'm like, literally fighting not to get cut. So I found out like later on that year, it was like, yeah, you're going to get cut. He's like, we thought you was a wrong 95 because we'd see flashes of it. And we're like, whoa, this is 95. What 95 is that one? We just never really paid attention to film. So
that's so that horrible.
Was fun. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, right.
It was just suck for the other 95. Don't get me wrong, but I did all right. So we went there. I had a pretty good year. And I made like 40, 50, and then after that next year, they pretty much took care of me. Jay Gruden did, and the story, the myth, all right? What happened was, it's the truth. It's not a myth. Just want to say that. So, I think the last year, I did really well, player of the year, blah, blah, blah. They asked me to come play for the Bucks. And I was like, no.
You said no?
Yeah.
Why?
Because when I went to go play for the Bucks before, I was like, look, I don't want a job. I want an opportunity to get a job. And if you're not going to give me an opportunity to get the job, then I don't want to be a camp body. Back then, camp body was a real thing. Like, they just want people in there to hold up space.
Tackling dummies.
Right, that, you know, practice, whatever, just to get through the season. I was like, if that's not what you want, I told my agent, you know, Jay was like, yo, you should do it. I was like, I don't know. So then what happened was, with Jay, whatever, I ended up talking to a couple of the administrative guys. I talked to Kiff. Love Kiff. Who doesn't love Kiff? Money Kiff? Love Kiff. Anyways, talked to them. He's like, yo, listen, you know, he said to me, he said, I won't guarantee you a job. He said, but I guarantee you, you definitely will get an opportunity. And they gave me the opportunity, and I made the team. That's all I need is opportunity. I don't need the job. I want opportunity
like
to get the
that.
Job. That's how I roll. So, you know.
Playing poker with them.
Yeah, well, I mean.
But you had a winning hand.
Right? Well, apparently. All I need is opportunity, right? So that's what happened, in the rest is history, I suppose.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. We're talking to a very, very interesting young man, Styles G. White, and he was a former Minnesota Gopher, and I say bounced around a little bit in the NFL.
A little.
And then had a nice run here with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Now let's talk a little bit about Super Bowl 55 and your perception of this Bucks team. And do they have what it takes? Because this is a very talented Kansas City Chiefs game.
Absolutely.
Team. You think they have what it takes? It's a 3.5-point spread. You know, you've heard all this, old versus young. What's your perspective?
Obviously, this game, like, Tom Brady doesn't play old. So this is, like, timeless,
good
right?
Point.
So
yep.
The old versus new is not really a thing when it comes to actually playing football. Either you get it done and you can't, right? As far as, if we're being honest, pound for pound, people say that, I think that the Tampa Bay probably has a better talent. But the talent that Kansas City have is such on a different level. I don't know. That's a lot, you know? So I want the Bucks to win. I like the Bucks to win. Kansas City's a lot. You know, here's my theory, and I'm sure a lot of people know this. If you keep Patrick Mahomes off the field by running the ball and stuff on offense, you got a chance. The more opportunities you give Kansas City, the less chances. And that's for anybody, but even less if you get Kansas City more opportunities to get the ball. So,
have you ever seen a quarterback like Mahomes? I mean, he's magic, man.
He's pretty phenomenal. Yeah, he sees everything. The way he throws the ball, he can throw it under, like, sideways. He's a baseball player.
Yeah. It's like so he's playing short. And he's throwing motions, it to second and making the turn, right?
Every motion he has is winning. So,
you can turn that mic on. We'll take it. Oh, I silenced him. He doesn't like being silenced, I bet.
I was just waiting for my cue.
Your cue?
Yeah.
How's that?
Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Not really. In the monitor,
yeah, no, because I can't. I think I'm off now.
You're not off.
You sure you can hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
No, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, that's it. We're good to go. Let's continue the show. No, I'm kidding.
That's how much he thinks of you.
I'm kidding.
So from an offensive line perspective, look at Kansas City. Both their offensive tackles are out. Look at that front five that the Bucs have,
yep.
which is, you know, look at the years of experience combined with the youth that they have, and I think that's going to be a factor.
I think that Tampa's defense is really,
I think Mahomes,
really well.
I think Mahomes will be running all day.
I think that – I hope you're right. I really do. I hope you're right. I mean, both their tackles are out. I hope they're right. It's tough. And I know both their tackles are out, so that's huge because Pierre-Paul and Barrett, they the truth.
Well, here's my it's not a dilemma anymore. Okay. But I'm a Green Bay Packer fan.
Okay.
So I had to suck it up because I helped Mark. He's a good friend of mine, Fergs. So I was here being the COVID cop, making sure everybody had – and I wore – I was incognito. We're cool.
Okay, all right.
I was the COVID cop that day, so I had to watch the Bucks beat my Packers. But I was excited about it
right. From
an economic standpoint and what it's done in Tampa Bay. We got so many trophies in Green Bay, we don't know what to do with them. And I thought, well, I had to say that for Jim. He's a Packer fan. He lived in Green Bay.
Okay.
But this game, and I've been to Arrowhead probably 15, 20 times, and I've always embraced the Chiefs. But I've got to be pulling for Tampa because of – just the guys like this, guys like Ferg. Yeah, guys like this have been fans forever, and they only got one Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, if it helps you, I'm actually a Browns fan, so we have.
You're from Jersey.
I know. Well, that's the reason why I can have a team, because I don't have a team in Jersey.
Oh, yeah, and you don't want to claim the Giants or the Jets anymore.
I would not.
I got a friend that lives in Queens, and I was talking to him the other day. I said, how pathetic is it? The largest market in America. If you took the best players from both teams, you wouldn't make the playoffs.
That's tough. That's hurtful.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it is. That's hurtful. Being a Browns fan, I get the hurt, the pain.
Now give me the justification of wanting to be a Brownies fan.
Well, here's the thing.
Somebody in your family?
No. Here's the thing. So playing with the Bucks has been an amazing experience, right? And you know what it is business, right? You play and you get paid and you get a service. It's business. Now the team that I liked, it's a different story, right? That's not
exactly.
How it works.
But
how it works.
Why did you become a Bucks?
I think
a Bucks
I lost
fan.
The bet. It's like,
so there's no
tough.
Real rationale.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
there's no rationale why you're a Browns fan.
Bet,
grew up in Jersey, went to college in Minnesota, live in the Tampa area.
Yeah, I think I just lost a bet. I don't know.
You could have picked one of the teams that you had the best time with.
You're right.
That'd be Tampa.
Yes, it would.
Okay, what team would it be? Where'd you have the best time?
I
New Orleans?
I had a good time in New Orleans.
How could you not?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. But, I mean, I'm grateful. Grateful for the Bucks. Grateful for the opportunity. So, I want the Bucks to win. Don't get me wrong. So, I don't want you to think that I'm just totally against the Bucks. I want the Bucks to win.
I'm not
the
all
Bucks
in on them.
My favorite second team.
There you go.
Is that fair?
That's fair. Everything's fair. Oh, I just got the chalk on my car. So you know what I do? I pull the media deal when he comes back around. I got 2 hours. I'm good. I didn't. Here's how bright I'm not. So see those yellow marks there?
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell are these marks on my car? There's some of these clowns coming around with the chalk. And they took it to the car wash, and that stuff doesn't come off.
No?
No. I might want to file a claim against them. All right. So tell everybody what you're doing now.
Some of everything. I went, this guy over here, he teaches me how to play the bass, so I have time for that one. I am in between jobs right now, so hopefully I have this opportunity coming up real soon that I got going on Monday. I don't want to talk about it and jinx it.
Okay, we won't jinx it.
Yeah. So,
but your personality, your IQ, you should be able to do anything you want.
You know what? That's what I keep telling myself. I don't think other people are listening. I tell them, but they're not listening. It's hard. It's hard. But no, it's good right now.
Well, we'll go to lunch sometime, and we'll get you in the networking world of Fergs.
Okay.
And there's opportunity out there. I can assure you of that.
Well, I appreciate that.
So how did you two meet? Through music?
We met a while back, though.
Yeah.
We met a while back.
Yeah, I was actually I wear a million hats in life, and I was UPSing, and I saw a package. It says Styles G White on it, and I was like, "There's got to be only one. I only know one Styles, and I'm excited, man. I can't wait to deliver this package." I came by, he wasn't there. I circled back around an hour later, he wasn't there. I came back 2 hours. Boom, and then you know you see the president's like, "Oh," and I was a fan of his. When he came into the Buccaneers, I've been following the Bucs. I've watched every game since Dungy, and all the you know as a kid growing up, that was you know Sunday football was big in my house. My dad grew up in Pittsburgh, so we're Steelers fans, and we're also Tampa Bay fans. And of course, I'm a super big Tampa Bay fan because this is you know this is where I'm from. This is where the first games I went to. So, anyways. I had remembered watching him come in and play and his story when he came from the Predators and then got on the Bucks and just started dominating. You know, I was like I knew him as Greg White, and then he was bodies flying around on the Buccaneers. I'm like, who's this guy? And then all of a sudden, Styles like this like superhero for the Bucks man came out and. Shit, I was using them on Madden football not too many seasons ago. They still had you on the roster.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So,
well, this has been an interesting conversation. We're gonna get you. You're gonna sing the St. Pete song.
Yeah, we got guitar.
All right, he's gonna grab your guitar or your banjo.
I'm gonna do it on guitar.
Oh, man, that's versatile. You a music guy, you said?
I was trying to learn how to play the regular guitar. Didn't work out, so now I'm at the bass, and I got a good teacher. I'm doing all right. I got a couple notes. That's it.
All right. Favorite music venue in the Tampa Bay area?
Where did I go?
You ever been to Ringside?
In the Tampa Bay, I've been to Strass. I like musicals.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm old school, though. In my generation, I like musicals. Sure you do, partner. We'll see you around.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. It's cool now. Everybody, who doesn't love musicals? You got to love musicals.
Oh, there we go.
That's how I play.
That's how you play?
I don't play.
We got the St. John Saints in the house. Is that soccer, football, basketball? Basketball. Got some hoopsters. I remember those days myself. Is that good now? We're gonna. He played a little bit. Oh, here's my Kansas City Chief friends. Look at that, Sherry's donning the Chiefs without the logo. So you're incognito. She's a Buccaneer. See that? Those are my good friends. You met him? No, you didn't meet him. But you're bandwagon. Well, she's a Nebraska fan. So look at she's got the Nebraska. All right, you can go. He played football at Minnesota. He's a Gopher. Oh, yeah.
Nice to meet y'all.
If you remember, it was last week. You and Michael collaborated.
Yeah.
You had about 5 minutes of conversation. And
I knew his name, and he's like, you got your banjo. So I played.
All right, brother.
That mic ain't on.
That mic isn't on? Yeah.
So there we go.
Just want to... Switch those out for a second?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. I thought we had that set, but... Jay had it set up, and I probably screwed it up. I'm really good at that.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so Banjo Steve, you're playing tonight here?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a Bucks Pep Rally. We got Styles G. White's going to be out here making a personal appearance. I got a couple bands that are going to play. We got the Banjo Steve No BS Band. I got Euclid Buffalo, Jack Mantra, a couple special surprise guests going to be showing up. And
what time you want
DJs.
Me? Time you want me?
We want you here all day, man. Get kicked off 6 o'clock. The first DJ will start going, and then we'll mix bands and stuff throughout the night. So,
all right, my man. Hey, Sherry, my favorite photographer. Will you take shots of me and the fellas here? Since I'm not prepared. You can go ahead and block me out there, Gopher. Damn, how big are you?
6'3", 290.
Whew. You might have to work tomorrow and be my bouncer tomorrow when I'm checking people's IDs. You stand right next to me. I could use you tomorrow. You're going to be enjoying the game. All right, my man. Rock and roll.
This song's called the St. Pete Song. I wrote this after spending a winter in Michigan, and I never felt homesick before. Like, there was ice on my window, and I was like, what is this? I got to get out of this place. So,
yeah, well, that's why he left Minnesota and I left Iowa.
So this song's called St. Pete's Song.
Here we go.
So leave my ashes upon this earth. I swear it can't be real. Many long years grew in you. I can't believe you're real. The sun goes up. Another day in the bird. The sun goes up, the sun goes down. It's another day in St. Petersburg, the land of water, heat, and the sun. It's time for me to have fun. I can't stand the cold, not one bit. If that's the way life is, hoping don't quit. Just growing up in St. Petersburg, paradise tree, and you might not understand as you visit my land, St. The sun comes back again. The sun goes up. The sun goes down. It's another day in the burn. The sun goes up. The sun goes down. It's another day in St. Petersburg. So bring my ashes upon this earth. I swear.
Outstanding. I like that.
Thanks, man.
Where is it? And you wrote that after spending a little Michigan winter?
Yeah. Well, actually, when I was in Michigan, I used to mess around with that jam. And where I was staying at, there was all these dudes who used to rap out behind where I was living. And I'd hear them out back. They'd be smoking and busting these freestyle raps. And one day I walked out with the guitar, and I was like, hey, guys, check out this riff. And everyone started taking turns making up rhymes on the spot. And then when I came back to St. Pete, like I said, I actually wrote the chorus and put my own little part to it, and I still have people come out and do their own little verses to it.
Okay, here's what I really want to do. We'll talk about this on the air. Is there any way we could record that? I'm going to make that my opening music.
Absolutely.
To the show every week.
Absolutely.
That'd be cool, don't
you
think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I like that idea.
They'd be great, man. You know.
All right, calling Frank Maggio. Calling Frank Maggio to the microphone. That Frank right there. Tap him on the shoulder there, Kenny. Tell him he's going to... That gentleman right there. His name's Frank. He's my next guest. Yeah. Well, Sherry, you don't need to sit next to me with that Nebraska gear on. Oh, yeah, it is. It's black and red.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, and I want to thank you for having me and Styles come out here tonight.
Hey, you want to sing one more song? Bergs. You got one top of your head?
Yeah.
This is a little flavor of what you're going to hear tonight. This is Banjo Steve, my new buddy. And St. Pete, that's going to be the theme song to St. Pete Sports Connection. You're listening to Live at Ferg's, Banjo Steve. One more song, and then I'll talk to Frank Maggio, and you'll be very impressed with his project.
I'm just a barefoot Florida boy. Wearing flip-flops in December and in November, January all year. And you know what they say, every day's a sunny day in St. Petersburg. Heavily cookouts in the sun and swimming so much fun. It's all you ever need to beat the heat. Tonight we'll jam Treasure Island Sand, St. Pete Beach, Everly. I'm just a barefoot Florida boy, wearing flip-flops in December and in November, January all year. And you know what they say, every day's a sunny day in St. Petersburg. Clearwater, Largo, Dunedin, Tarpon Springs, Valrico, Gainesville, Pensacola, Daytona, Wesley Chapel, Brandon, Cape Coral, 1-8 Florida, 2-8 Florida, Fort Walton Beach, Daytona, Ormond Beach, Cocoa Beach, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, yeah, I'm a Florida boy, Tampa Bay.
Banjo Steve, wonderful, my friend. We're gonna use those for our St. Pete Sports Connection music, brother.
Yeah, absolutely, use them.
All right, so I'll see you tonight. I'm gonna swing down here.
Yeah, you want to jump on the stage and do a little announcement anytime? We'll 7 to 11. Well,
I thought maybe I'd crack into some of my better rap. What do you think?
I think there's a verse for you. We'll get 12.
At my age, anything I crack into would be a little Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, we can do it.
And then I'd be booted off the stage anyway. All right, I'm going to hand this microphone over to my next guest. Thank you, my friend. Did a superb job. Either one of those are for you there, my friend. There's the microphone.
Thank you.
All right. And this gentleman, if you read about him, it's very, very intriguing because I was in technology until I lost my shirt several times. I was the original Gateway computer guy back in the day. I'm from the town where we created that concept. And I battled that industry for about a decade. So you can appreciate that with your IT wizardry. But Frank Maggio is my next guest, and we're going to talk a little Super Squares, Super Bowl, and we're going to talk Guinness World Records. And I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I'm a Mike Golick and his entire family fan. And of course, you've got a great relationship to him. I'm going to listen to the podcast. So without further ado, introduce yourself, and let's talk a little bit about this Super Bowl Squares.
Super Squares. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that a lot. Here's a card for you. Can you explain a little bit? You've played that Squares game, right?
Yes, I have.
The market for that, the people that know that game, is about 3 times larger than fantasy football.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's about 100 million Americans that know how to play this silly little game once a year, on paper, normally.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and they put their $5 in, and they typically get really crappy numbers, and then they're out, right?
That's me.
Yeah, that's
me every year.
That's right. And it's always a person that knows nothing about the game that wins, right? You ever notice that? It's the drunkest person that walks away with all the cash.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who doesn't even know who's playing?
Exactly. No, you're right.
They don't know the point spread. They don't really care. They're there to party. And it's typically, no offense to my good friend Sherry, it's typically a woman.
Yeah.
Did I win? How's this work?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? You just won $1,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw that and I thought, man, I used to beef with the world's largest advertiser, Procter & Gamble. And, I, you know, we always were taught, find a market.
You worked for Procter & Gamble?
Oh, yeah, in my former life as a kid. Okay. In my early 20s.
My good buddy here worked for ConAgra and a lot of brands. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were big advertisers. And very long story short, when I was 25, 23.
Well, take your time. We've got a half hour.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I mean, I don't tell this story very often, but when I was a young kid, I found a scratch-off contest at a grocery store.
I wanted you to tell this story.
Oh,
I love
you?
It.
All right. I'll tell it.
Yeah.
And I'm working for Procter & Gamble, right? And I'm in a store, and I'm selling advertising to managers and stuff, and I see this scratch game. And it's got to do with Monday Night Football. And you have to scratch like hidden footballs every week for 2 months. And if you match the number of touchdowns to the team and the number of field goals to the team when the game's over, you get points, and you correct them all 2 months. And I figured out a way to make every card worth $5,500.
And this story just it's phenomenal. I read it twice, actually.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's funny. Yeah. It's like a long time ago. It's 30 years ago. It's like. It feels like yesterday in some respects, but it's been a while, right? So anyway, I figured out I collected 4,000 of them, 4,000 cards.
You weren't married then.
I was not married then.
You had a lot of time.
You know, I did. And I needed help. I mean, you had to scratch off 4,000 cards. So I went, and I was just out of college. And so I went to my fraternity brothers, and they all piled into my apartment complex. It was just like this crappy little apartment. We had beer cans on the wall, you know, concrete blocks with a radio. You know the scene,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. I was the president of fraternity, yeah. Animal House.
Oh, there you go. What were you tried? What were you?
Teak.
You were Teak. Okay. I was a KA at Emory. So long story short, so we ended up scratching these cards off and had a system, and we had stacks of cards. Like, we had 400 stacks of cards all over the living room, the bathroom. And it took us, like, weeks to scratch all these cards off, and then I had to mail them in. You couldn't just hand-deliver them to the company, Beatrice. So we had to fly. I flew from Atlanta to L.A. to go to the post office where they have to be delivered so that we no chance of a plane going down. It was crazy, right?
You were taking all the odds out of this thing.
Yeah, I'm going on the plane with, like, $20 million worth of scratch cards. $20 million. I mean...
That's unbelievable.
Planes have gone down for less than that. Let's just say that, right? So,
did Beatrice know you had them?
Yeah, I didn't want them to know it was coming. I'm telling you, you get kind of freaked out, right?
Yeah.
I was 23. It was crazy. So anyway, I turned them in. They canceled the game around the whole country. They canceled the game. Didn't want to pay. And I was young, but I had a good story. And a very prominent law firm in Atlanta took the case on contingency. 2 years later, it settled, and I retired to Florida at the age of 25.
Wow.
And then I got bored.
Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
It's an amazing story. Have you written a book yet?
No, I did an interview for like a screenplay for a movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, the movie's still going, man. We're this
here
is
you
my,
go.
This
exactly.
Is right here, right?
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
You're too young, and this is, in fact, I'm very impressed. I saw your pictures when you were young.
Yeah.
You still have your hair. It's a little tinted.
Yeah.
But you still have that full mane of hair. Yeah. That's very impressive. Yeah. You haven't had stress. You retired at 25, dude.
Oh, I've had stress. I got five kids, so yeah, I got stress.
That'll stress somebody out.
Yeah. I mean, they're not the biggest problem. It's just, anyway, so this is the genesis of where this came from. I thought, man, there's advertising, there's football, and I loved winning, right? It's a great feeling. People love to win, and I thought, man, people will watch advertising.
Doesn't matter what it is.
No, like squares.
Yeah. The emotion, the thrill of it.
Yeah, yeah. Like today, like what's going on tomorrow? We all want to win because of the Bucks,
without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, we extend ourselves into the athletes. But here's the key: we're all passive. All we can do when we watch football is cheer, right? We're watching others play, and I thought it's got to get better than that. How can we all play
interactively?
Interactively. So I've created a game that we all get to play with and against everybody. This is a national squares game. It literally can have 5 million people playing against each other at the same time. Infrastructure is built on the Google Cloud platform, and we started testing it 3 years ago this week in this restaurant.
At Ferg's?
At Ferg's. We tested it here in Tampa Bay. It was an old version of the app. Everything was in it, all the commercials, all the questions, everything. And we had 1,500 people playing over the course of a weekend. So it's like, my gosh, this is big. This is one market. So then we went and built it, and we've built versions for soccer, and not for soccer, hockey, NASCAR, working on basketball, baseball. This is going to be something you play every game. It's called Super Squares. It's in the App Store right now.
Why couldn't I have met you when I was younger?
I could help
sports,
you, right?
Sports and technology. I would have loved to jumped into this with you.
Yeah. Well, I wish we had. You know, it's not too late. It's not too late.
We'll talk. We'll go to lunch.
Absolutely. So the way you play Super Squares is it's squares plus – prediction, because that's the juice. That's what's out there for gaming right now.
Exactly.
Right? The predictor apps are hot. Squares are not. But predictors and squares together, we've got...
When I saw that combo, I spent an hour on this yesterday. And then I always have CBS Sports on, and then I have ESPN. Well, CBS Sports, they've evolved into doing all the gambling intertwined. And I'm looking at yours, and I'm like, that's what Frank's doing here. Then I listened to Golic on that podcast. I'm thinking, this is brilliant. Because the guys that think they know it all, and we all, you know, I don't, but I know I have a lot of friends that do. So they have the capability of doing both.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you look at, so I also study science. I was an Emory grad, and I look at brain chemistry, right? Look at the brain chemistry of a wager. Most of them are prop bets, right? They start slow, and they burn, and you get, oh, it's getting good, or it's going down, down, down. It's
exactly.
Like, it's one curve. The squares, the way we do squares, you get four sets of numbers, brand new ones, every quarter. So you're never stuck with bad
numbers.
You're
not stuck with the same numbers?
Never. No, that's what makes us. And by the way, I patented the algorithm. So the square that you do get, those four numbers that you do get, there's always a good one in the cluster of four, always. So you're never out of the game. And we always give you points for matching just one of the two scores.
This is brilliant.
I wanted to build a game that we could play forever that I would enjoy. Because I knew if I liked it, it'd be a good chance everybody else would like it. Now, it is a bit... Because it's not so stupid simple as squares. Some people say, oh, this is too hard. It's like, you know what? 35 million people play fantasy. 100 million are going to play super squares, okay? Because we're a lot more easy to watch and play than fantasy. But it's not like, duh, close your eyes. If you're
exactly. And I did. I'll be quite frank. When I pulled up the app, I thought, man, maybe this isn't in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And then the more I dove into it, then I took a break from it. And then I listened to the podcast with Golic and Matt Burke.
Yes, sir.
Then I got inspired again.
Yeah.
And I thought, hey, you're a goofball. You got to get involved in this.
Yeah.
It's like, and I got to help my friend here, too.
Absolutely. So, yeah, let's talk about buddies in a minute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. So, really, we thought there's a lot of thought. I mean, this started in 2015, designing super squares, and then testing it and thinking about what makes it work and what we're not and what we are. So, it's prediction. You do three things. Golic's really great at this. It's 3-2-1 kickoff. Three predictions. Two reactions, and your first super square, right?
The reaction. He said that in the podcast.
Yeah, it's very simple. 3-2-1 kickoff. Then after kickoff, you open the app, see what your squares are every quarter. You don't have to do that if you don't want. You can just go to bed, but most people like to play.
Yeah.
And then there is a button that we just launched a couple weeks ago called the React button. And it's right next to the goal, the score, and you click it. If it's red, it's glowing, you click it. You get to watch one commercial and answer question and rate the commercial.
That's where the monetization came in. And brain again.
Yeah. So that's how we can afford to give away prizes.
Yeah.
Because we're giving the advertisers what they're not getting anywhere else. Even if you're in the Super Bowl and you're spending $5.5 million.
I sold advertising for almost 20 years. It's a tough sell. This gives you the exact audience demographic that you want pinpointed.
Exactly. You're good, man. You get this.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that's what the advertisers, they only pay for engagement. That's the other thing. There's five, I don't want to get too wonky on you, but like we've created what we call touch points, right? And advertising is all about mind share. Will they remember? Do they understand, remember? Will they buy me, right? But it all starts, will they remember me? Do they know who the hell I am? So when you play Super Squares, you're told to pay attention, and this is a patented process. Alert to pay attention, serve the commercial, ask a question that proves attention. Those three things together. And we've gamified that in this app. And so when we go to an advertiser and say, well, how many people saw you're out on television? Nielsen says... Okay, yeah, all right. How many saw it? Really?
Nielsen's going the way of the dodo bird anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Clinton-era technology at its finest.
Precisely.
Yeah. So the advertiser knows who watched but not names. And that's the other thing. I'm gonna be very candid with you. There is another square out there that popped up mysteriously.
Rocket?
Mysteriously a year and a half after we presented Super Squares to them.
Have you confronted them? I'm sure.
We have had words. What they do is basically a squares game stacked up. It's not a contest, okay? It's not a tournament. It's not a contest, but it's close.
Does the owner of the Cleveland Browns, is he a Rocket Mortgage guy?
What's his name? Gilbert. Dan Gilbert. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Well, he's not favored in the world of sport. A lot of people as an owner. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, well, it's a free market. You know, you can take, Flattery, what do they say? Imitation is the highest form of flattery, or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Unless they're stealing your patent.
Well, they're not. They're not. Okay. So that you play their game. Like, for example, here's a perfect example. Right now, you cannot play their game anymore. They've assigned all their squares.
Kickoff is tomorrow.
They closed.
Shut it down.
They shut it down yesterday. So you can't play their game anymore, and you never really do play their game because you're done. Who plays your game? The football players play the game, and you sit there and wait to see if they match your score, right?
Just like the sheet you get, when we do our little small squares.
That's
same
exactly
thing.
Right. We're different, right?
You're involved in the game.
Absolutely.
The entire
right
60 minutes.
Yes. And not only are you involved in the game, but here's the other cool thing you hit it a minute ago. Let's use the other guys as an example again. So here's what they would do. Come, give me a bunch of your information. Fill out what effectively could be seen as a pre-app for a mortgage, and then you get a square.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, great. So they got my data. And when you're doing this, they're asking you, would you like us to share your data with this person and that person? Okay. We're the complete opposite. We only want your data for two reasons. One, we got to make sure you're a real person.
And not a bot.
Right, and that we can send a prize to. And we need to know your demography so that we can share only that with an advertiser, because we want them to know the demography of the ad viewers. That's it. We don't sell your data. We don't use your data. We protect your data.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. It's a hub of activity for the next 36 hours. Of course, Super Bowl 55 kicks off tomorrow, 6:35 at Ray J. And we will have a big bash down here, 1,500 strong. Unfortunately, due to the COVID restrictions, we're not going to be able to allow anyone in if they don't have reservations. And I talked to Mark last night, and like I said, 1,500 seats have been sold. This entire area is under the microscope of the world, actually. And I'm talking to Frank Maggio. Supersquares.com. Is it Maggio or Maggio?
They both work for me.
Okay. Well, I'm Rickard. Rickford, Rickards, Rick. That just gets butchered.
Yes.
So anyway, let's talk about the Mike Golic element, unless you want to progress after you finish this portion of the explanation on how the app works.
Yeah, that's a good segue to Mike. So okay. There's a concept in the app. I was telling you a second ago, this other company's game. After you give all your information, they say, hey, tell your friends to play this game. And if they sign up because of you, you get an extra square. Your friend doesn't. But you do. All right? So I'm out there. You got all these people out there recruiting. Hey, come play this game. And that way I get an extra square and you don't.
What?
It's like.
That blows.
If you want to do math, the math is you never accept that invitation because you're just giving your supposedly friend an advantage over you to play a game.
Exactly.
I saw that. I thought, I thought about contesting my whole life, as you know. I thought, how do I make it the opposite? How do I make it like you'd be stupid not to accept the invitation? So what we do, it's called the buddy system. Once you sign up.
You listening, Kenny? The buddy system.
Once you sign up in the app, it says invite friends. And you hit invite friends, and you can email them, text message them, tweet them, Facebook them, and say, hey, come play Super Squares and use my screen name, because you've created a screen name. It pre-populates it. And what happens is if you win, I win the same prize. That's all. I don't get an advantage over you. But if you want to say thank you for telling me on this terrific game, just give me credit so that if you win something, I'll win the same prize. That's it. You don't get an advantage over your friends, and it's a
great deal.
It's the right way. It's the right way to do it, right?
Yeah.
It's the right way to do it. So what happens is your friends are your friends, and you're their buddy, right? So
you're not competing against them,
right? And so what happened was Matt Burke, former Walter Payton Man of the Year, 15-year NFL pro, won the Super Bowl in 2012.
Wonderful career.
He's an awesome guy. Worked for the NFL for 2 years. He thought, who's going to like this is Mike Golic. So he invites Mike Golic, and Matt Burke is the buddy to Mike Golic. Mike says, I really like this. What can I do? So now Mike's out there, and he's on our team. He's joined our team. And he's telling play and make Golic your buddy, right? So Mike wins when they win. Now he's donating his proceeds to the Gridiron Greats, which is a not-for-profit for injured football players that time has forgotten.
They didn't get the pension like these kids.
Exactly.
That's a great cause.
It's an awesome cause.
Yeah. So, well, he said something in the podcast. Join my suite or
okay, skyboxes.
Skybox. Yeah. Join my skybox.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Okay, so everybody still wants to play with their friends, right? That you want to have a squares game with your friend. You just don't want the paper and you don't want to have to go gamble necessarily, right? So how do you play with your friends? Well, inside of the app there's a thing called a skybox, and you can create or join two of them. All it is a collection of all your friends where you can see them all at the same time. right?
Gotcha, yeah.
And so you say, hey, I'm going to create a skybox. I'm going to give it a name, Frank Skybox, and I'll create a password. It might be Frank, right? And then I'll email my friends, hey, come play in my skybox, and whoever has the high score wins, so you can challenge your friends, or whoever has the perfect square each quarter can get a piece of pizza, you know, whatever you want to do for the prizes. But now all of a sudden you can be socially distanced, you can invite your friends no matter where they are, and you can play against them. So Mike, to show that, has created Mike Skybox. And all you got to do is say, join Skybox, and they say, what's the password? You type Golic. G-O-L-I-C.
Yeah, he explained this in the podcast.
Yeah,
it was intriguing.
Mike. And you can see Mike's score. You can play against Mike. Mike can see all of you people. And at the end, he's giving away $250 to the Pro Football Hall of Fame to whoever has the high score. And we have radio stations doing this, restaurants doing this.
Ferg's doing it.
Ferg's doing the Skybox. I'll give a big plug for Ferg. When you join this, just hit, it says join Skybox, type Ferg's, F-E-R-G-S. And then you'll be playing against everybody at this restaurant and everybody else who has the
code.
That's
what we'll do, Kenny. We'll do the Ferg Skybox.
Yeah, play this. And then you can create another one. So you can create your own and join one, or you can join two.
I'll create a St. Pete Sports Connection box.
You could. And you can give a prize away if you want or not. It's up to you.
Yeah.
So that's up to you. We give you the platform to share. And all we want is we want truthful information about your demography so that we can share only that with an advertiser. That's all we want. Our pledge is to protect, respect, and reward attention. Not sell your data. I like to say not target, track, and ambush, but protect, respect, reward.
Well, that's very unique in today's world.
It certainly is.
You know, I'm a little naive, or I've been naive. I'm not so much now. Ordering on the internet, you know, maybe through Facebook, and then all of a sudden I'm just getting slaughtered with my information. They know what I bought.
Absolutely.
And then I'm just getting, like when I bought all this equipment about 3 months ago, they thought I was a musician. I can't sing in the shower, yeah. But I'm still getting all this, and it's crazy. You got to get rid of it.
Yes. So you can ask the people who've been playing. So we started in Minnesota with KFAN, which is a big station in
Minneapolis. Yep. In the cities.
Yep, Paul Allen was our guy.
I'm from Des Moines, Iowa. Oh, Paul Allen was your guy?
Oh, yeah, and he plays Super Squares. And Paul Allen, you know how many friends Paul Allen has? He's got like...
A lot of people want to be his friend.
I meant in the Gap. He's got like 1,500 people who he's friends with in the app. So when they win, he wins.
What's the ceiling on the number of friends? I mean, I'm not going to have to worry about that.
Unlimited.
Wow.
You can have as many friends as you can say come play Super Squares. Just got to be first.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's a little private network of friends, and you're their buddy.
I'm just preparing the music side of things. So had you met Golic before?
No. In fact, I'm going to meet him today for dinner. I've not met him personally. Matt has.
I just love the guy because he's gregarious. You know, he used to be a monster from a size perspective. Big man, played in the NFL, he and his brother Bob. Now he's fit. I used to watch him on Mike and Mike in the morning, and then he and Greeny went different directions. But, you got a great spokesperson there.
He's awesome. He's more than a spokesperson. He's a believer. He loves what this does. It builds community, right? It builds community around sports.
Well, he's an energetic guy anyway, but I don't think that Mike Golic would get behind something that he personally didn't believe in himself or enjoy.
Yes, I agree with you. He's a good man. We got a great cut. And Matt Burke's a star, too, man. He's like, he's just rock solid.
They're both bright guys, too. Everybody thinks that, you know, an old jock, NFL guys aren't that bright. They're both very intelligent.
Yeah. And I think Matt was like the seventh smartest player to ever play the NFL, according to the Wunderlich test. Did you
really
know that? Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Harvard grad. I mean, so no dum-dum.
You went to Emory?
I did.
My niece went there.
Oh, really?
So a little bit about your background. Where'd you grow up at? And you retired, obviously, to Florida, you thought.
No, I didn't.
Great retirement.
Yeah. You can't retire.
No.
Retirement is like running from something. I'm not running from anything.
Where'd you grow up at that?
Hope Valley, Rhode Island.
The Pelicans.
Yeah. The smallest state in the union.
Rhode Island is?
Yes. Yes. Hope Valley, Rhode Island. I like to say I was born in the city of the state of Hope. Hope is the motto of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And in the Valley of Hope. I lived in Hope Valley, Rhode Island.
Wow. And then you graduated from there. Did you go to work immediately?
So I was selected as an Emory scholar at Emory. So I was valedictorian in my high school. So I was blessed with parents that wanted me to do well in school.
Oh, perfect.
So I went to Emory and then realized I don't have to shovel snow.
Well, as Frank discussed, supersquares.com. Talk about that. No, we forgot to talk about the attempt for the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, good point.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah, lots to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the record for playing a squares tournament is 100. 100 squares.
That's it?
Well, yeah. I guess there's never been a game that you could have a tournament around. I mean, yeah. You can have a bunch of people stacked up on a single number like they do at the other guys.
Yeah.
Right? Or DraftKings, right? They have one grid, and they stack people up, and then they pick them at random. I said, no, I want to do a tournament. So I created this game, and excuse me, we talked to Guinness, and I said, I think this is worthy of a record, and they agreed. So, but they set the hurdle high. It had to be 10,000. So I said, okay, 10,000. Excuse me. So for the last 3 months, we've been testing it in Minnesota, and we've been growing the audience. And then when the playoffs hit, I went to Golic and Burke. I said, look, let's spread the word now. We're ready. App's ready. Let's go for this record. So we signed up. We're doing the record. We got to have 10,000 people playing this game. Now, I want to make it really
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. And we've already got around 4,000 that have already got their first square. They've already played. And so you can join right now. And when you join the game, you can go to the
Kenny's on it. We're on it. I'm going to try to get all my whole circle. My son out in Colorado, Des Moines. I'll be rocking tonight. Yeah. Don't worry.
Good. Well, you want to wait. So you know what's the weather going to be, right? There's three predictions. Score.
Oh, yeah.
Total score.
This is like walking up to the window in Vegas.
Yeah,
I can wait.
It's free, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's smart to wait.
Yeah.
It's not. Now we know, like, 80% of our players play within the last hour. So we know we're going to get a rush. Now, I will tell you, we've never had that many players at the same time. So I'd get in early if you can, because there's no telling what's going to happen in the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It could be a mad rush.
Yeah.
And we're going to see traffic we've never seen before. But
it could be like the unemployment situation in Florida. Crash. That it won't crash.
And to make it extra worthwhile, the prize pool is incredible, right? The grand prize, whoever has the highest score after, and we also have a thing called
Talk about this vehicle you're
giving
away.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The Rivian Electric Adventure Vehicle, the first electric truck to go into mass production. Amazon has dumped $500 million in this. Every Amazon truck in 2 years will be a Rivian truck. It's an incredible vehicle. It's $80,000. I happen to have put an order on one 2 years ago, and I decided I'm going to give my Rivian up as a prize. So that literally is my truck that you'll be winning. And I had two on order. Remember the buddy system?
Yeah.
I have to have two of everything. So in case the winner has a buddy.
Then you got to double up.
Yeah, so I have two on order. So those two trucks are literally, like Terry said, win Terry's truck a couple weeks ago on the Fox game.
Yeah.
That wasn't Terry's truck.
Of course not. This is your truck.
This is really my freaking truck.
Well, Frank Maggio, this has been very, very interesting for me, intriguing as well. And I'm going to get a hold of you. I don't know if you have a car.
Yep,
but
I'll get to
you. Well, I know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
And we got to grab a bite to eat.
Get it.
I want to explore this further, but good luck on this Guinness Book of World Records.
Thanks, and come down to Ferg's tomorrow. We have cards available.
Oh, you're going to be here tomorrow?
I'm bringing Golic tomorrow.
I'll be here tomorrow, too.
Oh, I'll see you tomorrow at 3:30?
I don't know if I can let you in without a wristband. I'm his cop up front.
I talked to the boss man. But we have these on all the tables, how to play, how to sign up.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
And we got a sign back there that Ferg said
I should
talk
about. I
should
have done the show tomorrow, but he needs me for security.
I get you.
All right.
Well, I'll be here for you. We'll bring some big football players with us if you need some help.
Sounds great, my friend.
Okay, brother.
All right. It is supersquares.com. Make sure that, if you're coming to Ferg's, you already have a reservation. This will be on your table, and you will help. Well, it's the Ferg's VIPs. You can join his skybox, passcode Ferg's, and we'll dive into that. He's going to be giving away 4 race tickets and $100 in Ferg's credit. So prizes will be offered. I'll think about it this week. I'll talk to Frank, and then we'll have something for St. Pete Sports Connection, too. I'll create a skybox, and then I'll look around some of my my sponsors, and we'll come up with a prize. All right, now we're going to have a little live music, finish the show off, and you want to hand that mic over there to Frank? Meet Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Frank and Frank. He's got his John Lynch jersey on. Well, you grew up here. How long have you been here?
I've been in Florida for 30 years.
Oh, so you are a Bucks fan.
Oh, I am. Yeah, I'm a Patriots fan.
I was gonna say you probably are a Patriots fan.
I was. I was here 3 years ago when the Patriots got beat by the Eagles, and it was painful. And now I got Brady here, and I'm happy.
All right, another one of those bandwagon riders.
No, I'm both. 30 years.
All right, thanks, Frank. All right, gentlemen. How do you want to do this, my friend? I'll stick that in there. I'm not the. I think you are plugged in.
Nope. Chase said there'd be a loose plug right there, Keith. See it? The loose one right there.
There we go. Yeah, we just had Banjo Steve was on, and he was rocking. This is live radio. You know, you just roll. We are live at St. Pete Sports Connection, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. My neighbors, it's my whole neighborhood's down here. Yeah, we're having a little fun down here. I can't believe Mom didn't come down. She was here last week. We didn't 86 her last week, so she can still belly up the bar. All right, my friend. Turn it on.
Test 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. How's our level?
You're good, my man.
All right.
All right.
Watch your head.
I know.
Yeah.
We're Keith and Frank. We're from Gulfport. Okay. We'll be playing open mic at the Tiki next Wednesday on Shore Boulevard. Hope to see you down there. Okay. And we're really happy about the Super Bowl being here. We're going to play a few tunes for you.
Well, he's got his John Lynch jersey on too, even though you're a Northeasterner. All right, guys, here we go on little Frank and Keith.
I took my troubles down to Madame Rue. You know that gypsy with the gold tattoo. She's got a pad down at 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of love potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been that way since 1966. She looked at my poem and she made a magic sign. Said what you need is love potion number 9. Well, she jumped down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said I'm gonna fix it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine and looked like Indian ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes, I took a drink.
I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. When I kissed that cop down the 34th and Vine, broke my little bottle of love potion number 9.
I held my nose, I closed my eyes, I took a drink. I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. When I kissed that cop down the 34th and Vine, put my little bottle of love potion number 9. I held my nose, I closed my eyes, I took a drink.
I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. When I kissed that cop down the 34th and Vine, broke my little bottle of love potion number 9. Love potion number 9. Love potion number 9.
Frank and Keith, that was excellent. That's old school, baby.
Yeah,
it is. We're old school.
Well, so am I. That's our genre, fellas.
Yeah. So you want us to do another tune?
I want you to do 3, 4, whatever you want to do, man. We got a half hour.
Okay. All right.
Especially if you sound that good.
That's
not a one and done, man.
Yeah, no. I was going to come down here and talk some sports. I got notes and everything, you know.
Well, you know what we're going to do with you? As soon as we get this football out of the way, because you said you're not a big football guy, we're going to talk baseball because we got spring training, and I work for the Ted Williams Foundation. We're going to have a great show, get you down here, talk a little baseball, and our Yankees.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So we're going to do 2 more tunes, okay? I broke a string, but that doesn't matter because I'm always out of tune anyway. Okay? Spaceman.
Woke up this morning with light in my eyes, then realized it was still dark outside. There was a light coming down from the sky. I don't know who or why. Must be those strangers that come in the night in saucer-shaped lights. Put people up tight. Blue-green footprints that glow in the dark. Well, I hope
get home all right. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Please take me along for a ride. Hey,
Keith and Frank.
I like that, fellas.
All right, that's the Birds.
Where, okay. Where are you at next?
Okay, we got one more for you.
No, where are you playing next?
Next, we'll be at the Tiki doing an open mic on
said.
Shore Boulevard.
I live right behind Katiki.
Okay.
But this is the Tiki Bar. My buddy bartends there.
Yeah, okay.
We'll be up at the Courtyard in Gulfport Tuesday.
Tuesday, maybe. Yeah. Okay, at the North Tap,
Tap House.
Yeah, so
that's a cool place. So I'd never been over there until I met you guys the other day.
That's right.
North Antioch. Well, that whole little Stella's you said was good breakfast?
Oh, yeah. And we're very happy that we're on the south side of Central Avenue because people from Gulfport don't go across Central Avenue. It's like a moat.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's like an invisible line.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of cities have that.
So we're happy that it's on the south side of Central Avenue today.
You know? All right,
so,
fellas.
All right. We're going to do one more for you.
Keith and Frank.
One more.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike. Okay, Tulsa time, yeah. I want to dedicate this to all my friends and family, especially my daughters, Mary and Andrea. I left Oklahoma driving in my Pontiac, just about to lose my mind. I was going to Arizona, maybe on to California, where all the women looking fine. Yeah, my mama says I'm lazy, my baby says I'm crazy, I'm gonna show them all this time. Well, you know I ain't fooling, I don't need no more damn school, I'm on the waterline. Yeah, I'm living on Tulsa time. Yeah, I'm living on Tulsa time. Yeah, I say my wife got you, cause you know that I've been through it. I'm living on Tulsa. There I was in Hollywood, thinking I was doing good, talking on the telephone line. They don't want me in the movies, ain't nobody sings my song. Mama said my baby doing fine. Here and then I started thinking, and then I started blinking, I really had a flash of time. Well, you know I ain't leaving, yeah, I had no business leaving. I'm going back to Tulsa time. Yeah, living on Tulsa time. Living on Tulsa time. Yeah, I say my wife got you, cause you know what I've been through. I'm living on Tulsa time. One more time. Living on Tulsa time. I'm living on Tulsa time. Yeah, I say my wife got you, cause you know what I've been through. I'm living on Tulsa time. All right.
Wonderful, fellas. That's a little Eric Clapton did
Eric
that,
Clapton
too.
Eric Clapton and Don Williams also did that tune, made a big
Don
country.
Williams. Hey, you're throwing some old country
at
me.
And we want to thank Mike Rickard for inviting us down here. Want to thank Fergs. Want to thank Radio St. Pete, Jay Cove was the one who got his...
And our man on the control, Joe Berdow.
Joe Berdow. Okay, thank you very
much. He's the man.
Well, I hope to come down here and talk some baseball sometime.
You're going to in the next few weeks because we got spring training opening up.
Okay, sounds good. All right.
So, all right, fellas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Have a great time.
Great job. All right. You know, I love live radio because, you know, you... Is that your microphone?
Yeah, he told us to get the one.
He said to get a microphone.
That's Jay's right there, my friend. Don't you love live radio?
Thanks, buddy.
All right, this is Bill Fairweather.
What's up, buddy?
You are, my friend. You just walked by, and obviously you're a salesman and promoter, and you wanted to raise the bar of the show. Is that what you're telling me?
It looked like you could use some help, yeah. Look like you were struggling a little
bit. Well, that's every day, my man. That's an everyday thing. So introduce yourself, Dirty Water Media.
Yeah, so Dirty Water Media, if you know anything about the city of Boston, you know the theme song up
there. I'm a Yankee fan, by the way, just so you know.
Well, that's all right. We'll talk about 2004 if you want.
Yeah, I know you would.
So the theme song in the city of Boston is Love That Dirty Water. So that's where we came up for the name for the show. And we're down here because we've partnered up with Shipyard Beer and Sea Dog Brewing and Florida Craft Distributors. And we're filming all around the city of St. Pete.
I saw you guys out here.
So we're here at FIRST.
Have you been over Sea Dogs in Treasure Island?
This is the owner of it right here, Fred.
Oh, I live right there, Sunset Beach.
Nice.
Hey, you got a nice spot. They ate there the other day.
Fred told me you had a house tab for life, so you're all set. Don't worry
Sounds good.
So we're down here filming with Dirty Water TV. We have the lovely Kendra and Amanda Susie here, who are the hosts of our show. And we had a big event yesterday at the Post Guard Inn with the Gronkowski brothers.
I love that place.
Yeah, and just
you had the Gronkowski brothers.
Yeah,
how'd that go?
Couldn't have gone any better.
His mom lives down in Fort Myers, and I saw some conversations they had with her. Can you imagine that household growing up?
I can't imagine it now.
Oh my.
I think they were probably more behaved when they were kids.
Okay, we've got about 15 minutes, so let's tell some stories. I'm intrigued, man. Well, very intrigued at what you guys are doing.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of early Tom Brady stories, okay? First of all, when his rookie year, I went down to do an interview with Coach Belichick and Chris Berman. I was producing NFL Primetime at the time. And
I love Berman.
He's the best. He's the best. Yeah, he's actually down on the beach right now, down in St. Pete. But we went and interviewed the coach, and it was Tom's first year. And, you know, remember, there was a lot of controversy because they had to take Drew out of the lineup. You know, he was a $100 million quarterback and never got back into the Patriots lineup. So Chris asked Bill, what was it that you saw about Tom? And it's something that Chris and I have never forgotten because his answer was when Tom came back to the sideline after a play, whether the play had been successful or not, Bill asked him, what did you see? And Tom saw everything. He saw that the left tackle missed his block. He saw the linebacker was too deep in coverage. He saw that the wide receiver ran the route too deep. He could explain everything. And, you know, keep in mind, this is a second or two-second snapshot from a rookie who's in the NFL.
So six-round draft pick.
199th overall. So it was pretty early on that they recognized that Tom had that unique skill set to really see things, slow the game down. And, you know, people have asked Tom over the years, who's your favorite receiver? Do you remember his answer?
Whoever's open.
Who's ever open, exactly.
Exactly.
Right. So, and that's why he's still slinging it 20-plus years in the NFL. So that's one story. I had a bar up in Boston called The Place back in the early 2000s. I was at training camp one morning with Sal Palantonio. I was still with ESPN. I come there at night, and we got about 200 people in the venue and 200 people in line. So I went out shore, made sure there was nobody out there that I knew, you know. And I see this tall, lanky kid standing in the middle of the line. I recognize him. I said, I saw that kid this morning at Patriots.
Brady?
Yeah. So I go up. I introduce myself. I said, aren't you Tom? He said, yeah. Keep in mind now, hasn't played a snap. You know, this is the summer before his first season. He's all by himself. If you could imagine that. Story gets better. See, Tom, I said, come on in. Well, we became kind of his local bar, right? New kid in town. He had a bar that he could go to, or he knew the owners. Well, he was well taken care of. So Tom came in quite a bit. One night he came in, we had girls dancing on the bar, it was a great fun night as usual, right?
My kind of joint.
Absolutely. And Tom looks at me and kind of, you know, he's a tall kid, and he looks at me and he's like, Mr. Fairweather, you guys are killing it here, killing it. You know, a wide-eyed kid, couldn't believe it. I felt a little bad for him, fourth string quarterback, 199th pick.
Your chances, you'll be playing the AFL in a little bit.
Drew Bledsoe's there for the next 10 years. Yeah. Saying, you know, just kids.
Chop liver.
Short-lived. But you don't want to break a guy's spirit, so I put my arm around Tom, and I said, Tom, I said, don't worry about it. I said, someday you're going to have your day in the sun. And he looked at me, and he smiled, and he said, geez, thanks, okay? 8 years later, back down at Gillette Stadium with Chris Berman. We come into the locker room. I hadn't seen Tom in a while. I had been down in Connecticut, so we were, you know, felt like we had seen each other on a regular basis anymore. I walk in, see the crew, see Chris. Chris says hello to Tom. Chris turns to Tom and says, Tom, you know Billy, don't you? Tom turns and looks and smiles. He says, of course I know Billy. He's the guy who told me I was going to have my day in the sun someday.
Hey, remember that.
This is three Super Bowls, and now he's Tom Brady. You know what I mean?
That's impressive.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That he remembered.
You know what I mean?
Well.
So great guy. And look, we hate to, you know, we miss him up in New England. But if anybody deserved the right to make his own decision and take on a new challenge, and believe me, we're not surprised he's in the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm from Iowa, and I'm a Big Ten guy. So I've always supported, regardless, you know, there's always rivalries. It doesn't matter what sport, what level. I was an anti-Michigan guy until I see him have success at the next level, because it makes the whole league look great.
Right.
And what this young man has done, and sixth-round draft pick to become the GOAT. Well, I get tired of the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Look, if he's the greatest of all time. Yeah,
exactly. I'd rather say it than say GOAT.
It's got to be one of the greatest all-time stories, too. Look, people thought it was a big story when Kurt Warner went from the barnstorming league.
I knew him well. Right. I actually did all the programs. I had a little media company back in Iowa. And when he got the call from NFL Europe, I was doing a show.
Yeah.
And my buddy said, hey, Kurt's in town. I said, well, have him come down, do a little signing. People forgot who he was after he left AFL. And he was number 10. He didn't even have a polo. So I went and bought him a polo, the old Rams colors. I said, here, where is buddy? My son said, yeah, Dad, they loved him. And I was very fortunate to go along for that ride. And this one has gone even further, but they're both great success stories. He comes from the University of Northern Iowa. Nobody knows who the hell he is.
Right.
He's a journeyman in Europe and in arena football.
And why did he even get into the game that day? Do you remember? Trent Green got sacked and got hurt. They had just given Trent Green a boatload of money. He gets hurt.
Then they shipped him out.
Right. And he comes Warner, and the rest is history.
Exactly.
And a little, you know, little similarity there is who did Tom beat for his first Super Bowl in New Orleans? The greatest team on turf, right? The Rams. Who was their quarterback? Kurt Warner.
That was it. Well, and then if you take the Bruce Arians element of it,
yeah,
with the Cardinals, going back to that as well, man, you've got, what do you got, an army down
past
here?
The thousands, yeah.
Okay,
that's how we roll.
Okay, explain what you're doing again to the audience that didn't hear this. And let's do a little promo for Sea Dog.
Why don't we bring
my neighbors
over here?
They're my neighbors.
Yeah.
I'll come in and I got my tab.
Yep. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great. Now, my mom's been down here for almost 30 years. We're big Sea Hags people.
Nice.
And they've done a superb job. So then somebody said it was Sea Dogs, Sea Hags. Even my friends got confused. They thought they were going to Sea Hags. They went to Sea Dogs. But there's plenty of business to go for everybody. And your place is phenomenal. I've been in there probably half a dozen times. But
thank you.
Really cool place. Great view there.
Yeah, we have some great people, too. Charlie, the manager, and Mark, the chef, and they've been there since the beginning. It's been fantastic. That
where are you guys from originally? I know it's the Northeast. But
I grew up in Maine.
I thought it was Maine. The Maine Bears.
Yes.
Here's a little tip for you. University of Iowa Hawkeye. And our coach, Kirk Ferentz, was the head football coach for the Maine Bears before he moved into the big time.
Right. Yeah, and he had a big season, and you guys stole him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. That's how it works.
No, I know.
You know,
I
this goes like Maine, New Hampshire,
we were supporting.
You know, University of Northern Iowa. You think, we got our guy. No. The minute they have success, sayonara, they write a bigger check as Billy. My brother is Billy, so if I call you Billy once in a while. Yeah. Well, you like him more than I do.
Kendra.
Yes, so talk a little bit about your...
All right, Freddie, your career's over. I'll take it from here.
He's going to do one plug.
All good. We want to introduce Kendra before you hit commercial break.
Well, I'm not going to hit commercial break if I have a young lady like that. Hi, Kendra, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad for an old man. The level of the show just went up about 1,000% since I had Billy on, and now you. So you having a lot of fun down here in the St. Pete area?
Yeah, I'm actually from Jacksonville, so I live.
Oh, you're a Floridian.
Yep, I am.
This is old school. These guys come down from up north, and they're all excited. Like,
aren't snowbirds the worst?
Well, I moved here 4 years ago, so. But I'm a Floridian. I'm a jackass. I tell people all the time, God, look how crowded it is. All those people from up north are down here. Well, I was one of them. Most of us were. But you're from Jacksonville.
I am. So I'm a true Floridian. I will say there's got to be something in the water down here, though, because real Floridians, man, they are crazy.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
They're crazy.
And they don't know how to drive.
Yeah, I don't know. Mass holes might be worse. Say that.
Yeah. You can say that. This is a podcast, and we're on FM. We're good to go.
He just said it, so I think it's fine. I like to push the limit a little bit.
So were you with the Gronkowski bash last night?
I was, yeah.
Are there things we can say on the air, or was there debauchery? And,
a few things, probably not, but for the most part, it was a good time. We had a lot of fun.
You know what I love about Gronk, fellas, is everybody thinks he's, and I said this last week, everybody thinks he's just a clown, a showman, and as Brady said, And the other players, when he came into the training facility, first one there, last one to leave. They said his work ethic is unbelievable. Now, you got to love that about a guy, and he can party and have fun.
I wish I had that much energy. I really do. All of them. Gordy, too. I mean, Gordy's got so much energy. I don't know how he does it. I hope I feel that way at 37.
What are you, 16?
All right, let's...
When you're as old as me, every young person looks like they're teenagers. No, I'm 28. Old man, yeah.
All right, guess. How old do you think I am?
I'm going to go 26.
I'm 24.
See?
You were close.
I made you an old lady already.
There you go.
That's why you don't ask me. Yeah, so you're having a lot of fun down. We're going to have a lot of fun down here at Ferg's, and nice meeting you.
This is an unbelievable venue down here, Ferg's. I mean,
for you hadn't been here before?
Haven't been to the St. Pete area, this is absolutely phenomenal.
I moved here in 2017. I'd met him. I brought my kids down here, went to a Devil Rays game, and we sat... He had a picnic table out here, and I come down. Fast forward 16 years later, and first place I came, we started having conversation. I told him I had a sports show and then all this stuff back in the Midwest. He said, "Want to work for me?" So I started working just during the baseball games. When all you Bostonians would take over this place, and the Yankees and the Phillies fans. So I helped him with game day. We talked about this concept, and it's taken 2 years, but we're having a blast, and it's a great venue.
3,000 people. He told me this place can hold.
Oh, yeah.
Axe throwing in the back.
The diversity.
I don't know how many bars total? 10 bars within the whole development?
84 televisions, but he's bringing more in for, obviously, tomorrow.
Right.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
I'm sure there's a lot of Boston and New York money that runs through here.
You got one more quick sports story from your ESPN days?
What do you want to talk about? What
doesn't matter.
Ask me a question.
We got 5 minutes. Give me a Berman story.
Sure. Well, first of all, Chris is probably my best friend from the network, but... What a lot of people don't realize is that Chris was a history major at Brown. And so when you see him on the air, and he's called Boomer for a reason. He's got that great voice. Obviously, he knows his sports. But Chris always loves to bring a certain element of history into what he does as well. And I think that's been a major part of his success. But I got there in 93, and you think about the lineup. So Chris Berman, Dan Patrick, Olbermann. Kilbourne, Levy,
Hall of Famers.
Bob Lee, Jack Edwards, Charlie Steiner, Robin Roberts, Kenny
Hall of Famers.
Mays, Stuart Scott, John Saunders, Chris Fowler. I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, it was an amazing time to be there, and just in. We had a little fun, too.
You imagine that.
Yeah.
Hey, I met, this is about 8 years ago, at a football game in the Midwest. The original guy from ES that's started the concept, ESPN.
Yes, Bill Rasmussen, yeah.
Yeah, and he wrote a book?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
I met him, and we talked for about an hour. He was at an NAIA national championship. He was doing a tour of the entire country. Very nice man.
Excellent, and little did he know, right? I mean, he was just trying to get local basketball games on the air.
Why did he not make the big payday over that?
Because you got to think of the early days, right? And yeah. I don't know all the economics, but, ESPN really didn't start hitting its stride until the late 80s. Well, it started in September of 1979, so there was a lot of growing pains in that process, and I'm sure it's very expensive to get it to the point that it got to.
Speaking of bars, I owned a little bar when I was about 22, 23. I remember putting the ESPN on in 1980 in the bar, and people were like, what the hell is this? Yeah, the Australian rules football and ping pong and... I'm like, I like this. At least it was something all day and you had some sports on.
You talk to Chris and say, when did you know that it was resonating? When did you know people were paying attention? And he loves to tell the story. He goes down to spring training, late 80s, ESPN. Really, people really weren't all that familiar with it at that point. He goes to interview some of the Royals players. And one of the guys steps up and says, hey, when am I going to get a nickname? And it was George Brett. And all of a sudden, Chris was like, wow, these guys are actually paying attention, you know?
Yeah. Well, Billy, I appreciate you stopping by. We'll visit when I'm going to wind the show down.
Come on up. If you're in Boston, stop by the Greatest Bar. It's our place up there. Steve Levy, who actually was the voice of Monday Night Football for the first time.
Yeah.
So Steve is my partner and a couple other ESPN guys. So a great place right next to Boston Garden, Bruins games, Celtics games, all that stuff. And if you're down in Florida, Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Beer, Sea Dog Brewers, and love that Dirty Water TV, right?
Exactly. Right. All right, my friend.
All right, buddy. Thank you for having us on. You're the best.
Billy Fairweather, thank you very much, my friend.
Hey, buddy.
All right. Well, this show had a lot of twists and turns, and it should be the way. It's Super Bowl week. It should be that way. So for J. Cole, Styles G. White, Frank Maggio, Banjo Steve, Keith and Frank, Mark Ferguson, Joe Bedrow on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to St. Pete Sports Connection, and wish you and your families a great weekend. Be sure to check out Ferg's all week long, 84 televisions, and, of course, tomorrow night, Super Bowl 55, kickoff at 6:35. And the Bucks are going to bring the Lombardi Trophy. Maybe they'll swing by Ferg someday and bring it in there. May God bless you. God bless America. And be sure to have a championship week.